Hello, welcome to 21st Century Moses Podcast. My name is Sammy Zhu, your host.
Do you want to experience a miracle? Of course you do. There is nobody who doesn't want to experience a miracle. But the question is, how can you experience miracle? Now, even going through the book of John and John chapter 2, we saw the first miracle that Jesus performed in Cana, that he turned water into wine. Well, that itself is amazing, the work of miracle. But also in today's chapter, we're gonna read from John chapter 4, we see another miracle taking place, but that miracle happened in the same place, which is Cana. So is there something special about Cana? I don't think so. It's about Christ Jesus, because Jesus is the miracle performer. He performed the miracle. So the focus is on Christ Jesus. But I want us to look at more deeply about how this miracle happened. And more importantly, what should we really do to experience this miracle? Now, we're going to look at a story of a man whose son was very sick, but Jesus miraculously healed the son. And then the whole family began to believe in Christ Jesus. So wonderful story. But there are the things that we can learn from this story about his faith, this man's faith, and how this miracle happened. So let's look at John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54 together. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine, and there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." So Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Now, there are three points I want to make from this passage. The first one is, be desperate. To experience the healing or the miracle, we need to be desperate. The second one is, believe in the word. Believe in the word of God, the word of Jesus. And thirdly, believe in Jesus who spoke the word. So let's go one by one. So the first point was, be desperate. Now let's go back to verse 46. Therefore, he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. So, as I said, this was the first first miracle that Jesus performed in Cana. Now, there was a royal official. We can see that this person was a high-ranked person, but doesn't mean that he doesn't have any problem. No matter how beautiful house or big houses or rich house that you live or higher rank that you live, it doesn't mean that you're immune to the problems. You can have all kinds of problems. It's the same these days as well. This old royal official had a big problem. What was the problem? Whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now, the Capernaum was about 25 miles from Cana, so it's not a short distance at that time. But we see the desperation here. This man, even though he was in the Capernaum, but he came to Jesus. Verse 47, he says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, this man went to him, Jesus, and you see the word here, imploring him to come down and heal his son, because he was at the point of death. So you see the desperation here. I mean, if you're a father of a son and your son is about to die, how in the world that you could be peaceful? Of course not. You would be desperate. You would be crushed. And you would be broken in your heart. And you would do everything that you could do to help your son to live. I mean, even though he was a royal official, but his power, his position could not heal his son. And probably there were some many medicines that he could try. And I'm sure that he tried all the medicines, but nothing worked. The human doctors could not really work in that case. However, there's only one thing, one hope that he had was to invite Jesus in. So that's why this man came to Jesus and imploring, it's like begging Jesus. So let's go back to today's passage again. He was begging to come, begging Jesus to come down and heal his son. But interestingly, in verse 48, so Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Now you might think, this is kind of cold. Like Jesus was not saying, okay, I'm going to heal your son and, you know, I love you. Let's go together. This is not what Jesus said. Jesus was like, almost like a sarcastically, it's like, you people just don't believe if you don't see any signs and wonders. Now, if this father was not desperate enough, he might be offended by this and say, okay, I think I found the wrong person. I'm just gonna leave you, and you don't want to heal my son, so that's it. Okay, forget about it, never mind. I was just gonna go find another person to heal my son. But that's not what this father was saying. This father was really desperate. So let's go back to today's passage, because in verse 49, he did not give up. It says, the royal official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. I mean, he could say, oh, that's not what I meant, Jesus. You know, you are the son of God. He could say all these good words just to persuade him to come down. But that's not what he said. He said, just come down. You see, in the verse 47, it says, come down and heal my son. But for verse 49, he just said, come down. He did not say, heal my son. It really shows that how desperate this man was saying. This man was like, just come, please, please, just come. So he was very, very desperate. He didn't care about any offenses, or maybe Jesus' disciples could be surrounding him and say, don't you see? I mean, our teacher doesn't want to go with you, so just leave. But this man did not give up there. He implored Jesus again. He begged Jesus to come down again. So that is the desperation that we see, that we could see from this man. He was desperate. And we need that desperation before Jesus, okay? We don't care about what other people, how other people would think of us when in front of a problem, and most importantly, in front of God. Let's be desperate. We need to be desperate, just like this man was. And then let's go back to, let's see what happens next. Verse 50, Jesus said to him, go, your son lives. Interesting. Jesus did not say, okay, because you said so, because you're so desperate, I'm gonna go with you. He didn't say that. He said instead, go, and your son lives. You might think like, still, why Jesus is so cold here? But what follows next is really amazing. Anyway, here Jesus is saying, go. And he said, he did not say, your son will live, but he uses the present tense, your son lives. And we'll see in just a few minutes why this is important. But this man's response, that's what we need to really look at. So let's go back to today's passage. When Jesus said, go, your son lives, this man believed the word. Okay, believe the word. The second point was what? Believe in the word. Believe the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. Now, just think about the situation. If you put yourself in this man's shoes, what would you do when Jesus said, go and your son lives? You might think like, How could you do that? I mean, I traveled all this time, all these many, many hours to just see you. But Can't you just at least do something for my son? Maybe if you cannot come, maybe you can send your one of your best disciples, or maybe you can send me a charm or something. Maybe you can write a paper so that I can put that paper on my son's body, so that I can bring something with me, so that maybe we can experience the miracle that way. Well, this man did not do any of those things. Instead, he believed in the word that Jesus spoke, and he left. He believed in the word of Jesus. Even though Jesus did not go with him, he believed the word. Now, it's very, very significant in our life, because in our life, we try to use something, or we're trying to invite a person. We are looking for something visible so that we can hang on to it. But what we really need to do is to believe on His word, on the word of God. But also, this is very challenging, because Cana and Capernaum, as I said, it's about 25 miles away. Of course, they did not have Uber or taxi. They did not have a bullet train. So for us now, 25 miles, maybe we can take about 30 minutes. If you're taking a highway or in their local drive, maybe it will take about 40 minutes or 45 minutes. So it's not a really big deal. So if Jesus said, okay, go and your son lives, and then you might say, okay, yeah, it's my house is about 30 minutes away, so I'm going to go and check my son, and if my son is still sick, I'm going to come back to you, and I'll complain to you. That might be a possibility for us now, but that was not the possibility back in those days, 2,000 years ago, because 25 miles means 12 hours of walk. So even if the rural official had a horse and all that, but still, it's not like a 30 minutes. It's a long way. And also, in few verses down, the time that Jesus spoke to this man was seventh hour. In Roman time, it's a 7 p.m. So it's not easy to do. 12 hours, you have to go another 12 hours, and it's already late evening. Then what would you do? You need to have something with you to tell your family about your son. However, this is it. Just two sentences. Go, and your son lives. Go, your son lives. But this man believed in the word of Jesus, and he left, even though he had to go another 12 hours without anything but these words. But we see that miracle taking place. So let's go back to today's passage again. It says in verse 51, as he, this royal official, was now coming down, his slaves met him and saying that his son was living. Wow, so miracle finally happened. Nothing worked until this man believed on the word of God, word of Jesus, and he was on the way back home, and then this miracle happened. Now, he did not stop right there. In verse 52, it says, so he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. Then they said to him, yesterday. So what does that mean? Yesterday. Let's say this man left around 7 p.m., and then even if he had a fastest horse and everything, at least 5 hours passed to be the next day, right? So let's say about maybe 10 hours or 9 hours after Jesus said. So it's still next day. So it took about a day for the knowing about what happened between the miracle and the time that he heard about this miracle, okay? So in this verse, it says, yesterday at the seventh hour, which was 7 p.m., the fever left him. So in verse 53, so the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. So not just this royal official, but everyone in his household believed on Jesus. So in the 54, this is again a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So this is the end of chapter 4. So what do you see here? This man knew about this miracle took place. I mean, he could just stop right there and say, wow, that's great. My son is finally became healed. So I'm so happy. Then the rest of the story would just go with his family. But that was not the case. This man checked back and said, when did it happen? And then he found out that it was exactly the same time when Jesus said, go and your son lives. And then the greatest miracle happened, greater miracle happened, which was that this man believed. Now, this time, it doesn't say he believed on the word. He just said he believed and his whole household. How would it be possible? Because this man, I'm sure that he talked about Jesus to his families. Say, you know, I met Jesus and then he said, your son will live. Your son lives. But that was the time that our son became healed. So that Jesus is truly the Son of God. Jesus is really amazing. He is the powerful God. We need to believe on him. So I'm sure that he shared that with his family members so that his whole household believed on Jesus. So this is really the key point, because the book of John is the purpose of the book of John is for people to believe on Jesus Christ. It is amazing to see that water becoming wine, but at the time the servants knew what was happening and the people believed. People who saw the miracle believed on Jesus. And in this chapter today, They saw how the miracle took place, and then the end outcome, the end result was for them to put their faith in Christ Jesus. So, miracle is important, but God used the miracle for people to believe on Jesus. This is the point. This is what we also need to experience as well. We need to believe in Christ Jesus, who is the subject of miracle and who performs the miracle. Miracle should not be the focus, but Jesus must be the focus. Believe on Jesus. So how should we live? Now, first of all, we must be desperate. Again, just like this man who was desperate before the Lord, we need to be desperate before the Lord as well. Now, sometimes we go through difficulties and pains in our life, and many times we just complain about it. However, it's actually a God's blessing, because when we are desperate before the Lord, we can be desperate and we can lay down our pride. So lay down your pride and come to Christ Jesus and be desperate for him. Psalm chapter 34 verse 16 says, God is near to those brokenhearted, and he is near to those who are crushed in their spirit. Now, when everything is going well around you, then it is very difficult for you to be brokenhearted before God. But when things are not going well, even when you have all kinds of great things in your life, great good career, good house, and good neighborhood, and good cars and everything, but if your son is sick, if your wife is sick, if your husband is sick, and if you have all kinds of those problems in your life, then you will be very, very desperate. And that's where God will meet you. So how can you be desperate? Be desperate with your prayer. Pray and cry out to God with desperation. Maybe your neighborhood might say, just be quiet. But, you know, don't think about how other people think of you. When you're desperate, just be desperate and cry out to him. And he listens to you. So be desperate. Don't worry about other people, other things. God hears your cry. God loves your desperate heart. The second one is this: believe on his word. Now, as you pray, also read God's word. Now, you might think that, you know, Bible is just another book. No, that is not another book. The Bible is inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, as we can see in the Second Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. So this is the word of God. But people want to see something visible. Like, I can read the Bible and all that, but I still need someone to come to my home and pray over my son or daughter. And I still need some tangible help so that I can really see that this miracle is going to take place. Well, before we talk about people coming to your home to pray for you, of course, that is definitely a great thing. And even in the Book of Acts, we see the Apostle Paul and the apostles, they were laying their hands upon the sick people, and the miracle did take place. However, what we really need to do is this. It's not about trusting in those powerful people or powerful charms and all that. We need to believe on the Word of God itself. The Word of God is the power, and the Word of God is inspired by God. So trust in His Word. This is why we need to read the Bible and meditate on His Word. And the situation may be still dark and challenging. So you might think that, nothing is really happening. But imagine this father, that he had to travel 12 hours back home, but all he had was the Word of God. Can you imagine how long that 12 hours would be? At the time, they didn't have a cell phone, they didn't have an Instagram, nothing. So there's no way for him to know his son got better at the time, right? All he received was Jesus' word, and he left. But 1 hour passed, 2 hours passed, then 3 hours passed, but still, he could not see his son was living. And then remember that his son was about to die, so probably the worst thing could happen, right? On the way home, maybe his son would be already dead. So he could have all kinds of doubts in his mind and all the complaints, right? However, he believed on the Word of God. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to have as well. When we receive the Word of God, when we really read and meditate on the Word of God, we just need to put our trust in it. When God says He will fulfill His Word, just like God promised to Abraham and Sarah that they will have a baby, but they didn't have a baby for almost like 20 years. How long that would be? But God fulfilled His promise, that God kept His Word, and God gave the baby Isaac to them in the age of 100 for Abraham. It's the same thing for us. Trust in His Word. And that's how we can experience the miracle. The greatest miracle is the third one, which is to believe on Jesus. Yes, we need to believe on Jesus. When you got desperate and when you believe in the Word of God and the miracle happened. But if you just stop there, it could be very, very dangerous. Let's say your son became living and your job, you lost your job, but you got a better job and everything. And then, you might say, yeah, miracle finally happened, so I'm so happy right now. But if you settle down with that, if you stay with your miracle only, if you're missing you're missing the whole thing. Because this man, when he figured out and he found out that his son was healed, his focus was no longer about his son's health, but his focus was on Jesus Christ, because he realized that it was Jesus who healed the son. So let's not think about the miracle itself. Yes, I got healed and all of that. But think about this. Who healed you? Who performed the miracle? That's more important. People can become healthy by the grace of by the power of God, but they can become ill again. This son who became healed, he died again, right? So that's the world that we're living here. But the real miracle is that Jesus who healed the son, Jesus who healed you. So he is the focus of every miracle, and he himself is the miracle. So we must focus on Christ Jesus. We must believe in Jesus after all this miracle, because Jesus is God and he is the Redeemer. He is the Lord and Savior. He died for your sin and he conquered the death and sin that was binding you through his resurrection. So believe on Christ Jesus. Come to Him. That's the whole purpose of this book of John. After all these miracles, if you still hold on to all those things, that will become your idols. but come to Jesus and look up and fix your eyes on Christ Jesus. And then you will see that who Christ is and what he has done. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things that you need will be added unto you. So the point is this, his kingdom, him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself, Lord and King. So let's believe on Jesus. Let's be desperate and let's believe in his word and let's believe in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for this wonderful miracle that you performed many years ago, but still you're performing this miracle in our life in many ways. But the biggest miracle that we experience is our salvation, that you died for our sin and you rose from the dead to give us eternal life. By putting our faith in you, you save us. So Father, we thank you. We praise you for this wonderful miracle. I pray that we would be desperate before you. We will not seek for any other miracles, but we would seek your word and we will seek you so that we'll believe on you alone. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' holy name I prayed. Amen.